Well, we're going to be reading from Luke's Gospel, and we're going to be turning to Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 43. Last time I spoke here in the evening, which would have been 3 or 4 weeks ago now, I looked at Luke chapter 8, and in particular the last two miracles in that chapter, where Jairus approaches Jesus and asks for help for his dying daughter, and then in between that particular miracle, we had the woman who had suffered bleeding for 12 long years, who sought help from Jesus, and so she reached out, grasped his garment, and was immediately healed. And as we then go on to chapter 9, and I realise I'm skipping out quite a bit here, but the theme that we looked at several weeks ago was hope in hopeless situations, in particular hearing the words that Jesus declares over us or into our situations, that we tune ourselves into the right message. And indeed, that will be the theme for us tonight, that we need to, in a sense, tune in to the right radio station, to get the right preset, to make sure that we're tuning in to the Word of God. And so God declares of his Son in this passage that we'll look at tonight, that this is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. So let's come to this passage in question. We're starting at Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 43, where we come to the transfiguration, and then on to a passage where we deal with the healing of a demon-possessed boy. So starting at verse 28. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him, and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg of you, look at my son, for he is my only child." A spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him, and is destroying him. I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not. "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. This morning, when we looked in the passage in Exodus, I chose 3 particular verses that I wanted, in a sense, for us to zoom in on. And I want us to do something similar from that passage tonight. We'll look at it in greater detail, but I want us specifically, as I've already said, to focus on verse 35, where it says, "This is my Son, the chosen one, listen to him." And drawing it into connection with chapter 8, I want us to understand this. If you like a title for a sermon, if you want to know the theme or where we're heading, it is this: tuning in to God, tuning into the Word of God, making sure that God is our preset station, as it were. And the reason why I use this analogy is because it was brought to my attention really as I was travelling to Moorlands. I think I've mentioned on several occasions about my journeys to and fro from Moorlands Bible College. But I always listen to the radio. Sometimes I'll put the iPod, connect that up, and listen to some worship music. But I often listen to the radio, and normally Radio 2. And I listen to Radio 2 on the way. And most modern stereos in the car will automatically adjust the bandwidth, I guess, so that it continues to pick up that station. So, for instance, Radio 2, and I've lost the young people now, they're thinking surely Radio 1, but no, I am now a Radio 2 man. It's 88 to 91 FM, and so the radio automatically adjusts as you travel geographically to make sure it keeps the right station setting so that you can continue to hear the program you're listening to. But when I got to Moorlands, on the way back, I wanted to listen, and this is even worse, to BBC Radio 4, the talking station. So no music even on that one. But I couldn't find it on the preset. I was scanning through and I couldn't get it. So I searched on my phone quickly to find out what preset. I was still sat in the car park at this point. I wasn't searching while I was driving and doing all this. So I was sat in the car at Moorlands and I had a look and I found the bandwidth. So I used my radio in the car to search manually. And you can still do that. You press a little button and keep going through all the numbers. It takes a long time. But eventually I found it and I got onto Radio 4. And I wanted to listen to, given what Jeffrey's just said, I wanted to listen to David Cameron's rebuttal to the questions he had been asked in relation to his request that permission be granted that Britain start bombing ISIL and ISIS in Syria. And so I wanted to listen to the entirety of his speech, which was some 20 minutes long, and I managed to hear his whole speech. And then some political commentators' analysis came on and started referring to the speech and what the likely response was going to be from the different political parties and all these all these different things. But because I had done the manual preset, because I had searched through manually, as I was travelling along, the station preset started to get slightly fuzzy, slightly crackly. It didn't automatically adjust as it would normally do. And of course I started, once these political analysts came on, I started daydreaming about other things, obviously focusing on driving still. I'm painting quite a picture of a reckless driver here, aren't I? I was still focused on driving, but I started thinking about other things whilst I was driving and didn't notice that the reception was becoming distinctly bad. In fact, it wasn't until I could barely make out anything that was being said that I realised I had lost signal, that I was no longer tuned in to that which I was supposed to be listening to. And so I just had to go back to Radio 2 because I couldn't start the back of trying to search through again. And so I was back with Steve Wright for the drive home tunes. But it made me think about our walk with the Lord. It made me think about how we are tuned in to the Word of God, and in particular how we can quickly become out of tune with the Word of God, that we can lose reception, if you like. We can lose the signal, and the static noise, the white noise of the radio that we sometimes get when we lose that signal, can take over. I want to, as I've said, frame this in the context of Luke chapter 8, because there's a distinct theme that runs through that, in particular this idea of hearing. Hearing the word of God. And so just as a cursory glance, to look at Luke chapter 8 verses 8, where we have the parable of the sower, it says these words, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And of course Jesus is referring there to the scattering of the seed. And in particular, that the seed that falls on fertile land and that sprouts forth and grows is like the person that hears the word and puts it into action. That there is evidence of the word being received and implemented, if you like, taken to heart, acted upon. So there is the start of this theme. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then further on in verse 18 of Luke 8, where Jesus is referring to the lamp under the jar, he says these words, "Take care then how you hear." So the theme goes on in the following verses. In verse 19, Jesus' mothers and brothers are trying to reach him, and a messenger gets through and says, "Your mother and brothers are trying to get to you." And Jesus responds to them, responds to him, saying, "Don't you understand? My mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." He's effectively saying that he is in relationship with those, he is related to those that hear the word of God and put it into practice. They are his brothers and his sisters. These are the ones, those that hear the word of God and do it. And then of course our focus several weeks ago was the life of Jairus. And in Luke chapter 8 verse 49, as Jairus and Jesus are making their way back to Jairus' house, they are intercepted by a messenger from Jairus' household. And he says, "Do not bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter is already dead." And of course it's a message of hopelessness. But Jesus immediately intersects. He immediately says, "Don't listen to that. Listen to this." And so he says in verse 50, "Do not fear, only believe, and she will be well." Jesus there is in effect saying, "Hear these words. Don't listen to that message. Listen to this message. Tune in to the word of God. Don't tune in to the world around you and the message that it would share. Tune in to the word of God. Hear the word of God. Listen to my words." And so that theme continues on in a sense in Luke chapter 9, where God places his stamp of authority once more on Jesus Christ his son when he says these words, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." What wonderful words said of the Father in this most awesome revelation. Said of the Father, over the Son. This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And so as I was thinking about this passage in particular, and thinking about the analogy that I've already given you, there were four specific things that this spoke to me. The first is this. We need to make sure that we are tuned in to the right station. First and foremost, we need to make sure we're listening to the right thing. That we're tuned in, if you like, to the right precept. We have people around us, friends and family, that will often speak into our lives. And of course, we value all of their comments, but occasionally they can speak things that are unhelpful. Friendship groups in particular can be quite difficult in that regard, and so we can listen to messages we hear from other people, and sometimes in relation to Scripture, in relation to the calling that God may have placed on our lives, it can be unhelpful. Media can be a real troublesome nugget to deal with, in part because you turn on the news, you see what's going on, and there is a sense in which we have this identity impressed upon us, that if you want to be like this, you need to do this or look like this. We read magazines. I think it's picked up on quite a lot at school at the moment. Certainly it was when I was there. Teaching, that is, not when I was a student. That was a long time ago now. But the idea that magazines in particular portray this image as to what we should look like, what we should be like, that they are the ones who define what is beautiful. And we start to take on board these images and these mindsets. We start to take on the messages, and we're listening to the wrong radio station. We're listening to the wrong preset. We're not listening to what God declares over us, that in his eyes we are beautiful because we are his creation. We are his children. He knitted us together in our mother's wombs. God designed us, and yet we allow magazines to be the definers of what is beautiful, of what is acceptable, of what is right. The same is true sometimes of TV and films. We watch these things and it becomes the main thing that feeds us, that drives us, that is our input, if you like. It starts to define the way we see things. And sometimes also we can even tune into ourselves a little bit too much. That is, we can be driven so much by our own needs, by our own desires, by our own wants, that we actually forget that we are serving God Almighty. That we forget we serve another person's will. So instead we have our own agenda for each day that we wake up with. My own to-do list. And so sometimes we can listen to ourselves a little bit too much. Now I say all these things, and I started off with talking about friends and family. I'm not for one second saying we shouldn't listen to our parents. Cover the ground there quickly. Or that we shouldn't take on board good advice. But we need to discern what we receive from other people. We need to make sure that we are tuned in to that which is good for us, to the Word of God. And that's the theme here. Jesus keeps pointing to it in Luke chapter 8, and God reaffirms it in this authoritative declaration over his Son here. And the message from the two is the same. It is the same voice. Of course, we say that they are Father, God, and Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. And so we see this in unison here, that the Son points to the Father when he says, my mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And when God the Father says of the Son, this is my Son, my chosen one, listen to him. God points to the Son as the authoritative one who has come to share truth with us, to reveal gospel truth to us. And Jesus Christ points back to the Father and glorifies him and says, do the will of God the Father. Always pointing to him. So we need to be clear. We need to make sure that our preset station on our radios of our soul, if you like, of our spirit, is tuned into the Word of God. So that's what we're taking on board. But that's our primary influence. The second thing that we need to do is be wary of static interference which can come along. I mentioned how on my journey back from Moorlands, eventually static started to appear on the radio, that kind of white noise and cackling. And it didn't take too long before I had completely forgotten I was listening to the radio, and all I had was nothing but white noise in the background. No help to me whatsoever. And I think sometimes we can be like that with the Word of God, especially when we come to the Word of God as we do on Sundays, and then perhaps might not pick up the Word again, maybe until our Bible study, or perhaps until the following weekend. We can hear with utter clarity on one day, and yet the next day we can be afflicted with interference, with other things that would seek to cloud the message that we heard. And so we can begin to forget. We can lose the reception that we once had. It's kind of like Jairus, as we experienced, as I've already mentioned today, that Jairus was set on Jesus Christ being his last hope, his only hope. But there is a message that intersects them. There is a message that comes his way that speaks hopelessness to him. Static interference that would take him from the tune set of God's word to this interference. This message that all hope has been extinguished. It's a little bit like Peter and the disciples as well in our passage this evening. You see, Peter and the disciples are with Jesus on the mount there, and they behold all that they see, and they treasure these things in their heart, and they are fearful of what they are seeing. They are amazed and astounded by what they are witnessing. But then they come down from the mountain. And so I'll reread verses 37 to 43 for us, just to find out what happens when they do come back down from the mountain. So in chapter 9, verses 37 through to 43, and it says this: "The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, 'Teacher, I beg of you, look at my son, for he is my only child.' A spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions, so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him, and is destroying him. I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. We'll all have days when we feel close to God, when we have heard a message that has empowered us, emboldened us, has uplifted us and encouraged us. The kind of experience that the disciples experience on the mount, when they are in awe of God. And yet we'll also have those kinds of experiences where only a day later other things have clouded that picture. Other things have interfered with that message we heard, that word that we picked up. And that's what happens to the disciples. They come down from the mountain and they are encountered with this problem. They are encountered with a man who is desperate for his son to be healed of this demon possession that has left him with seizures and crippled by this demon. And in this moment, the disciples can no longer hear the word of God. They can no longer hear the message that they've been picking up. That message in Luke chapter 8, where they're taken on this journey of faith to see their faith grow. But they don't hear that message anymore. All they see is the problem before them. And in a sense, we can assume an insecurity, an inability to handle that problem. And so they're unable to heal the demon-possessed boy. And the father relays this to Jesus. And Jesus is rightly incensed. Notice his frustration in verse 41. "O faithless and twisted generation," the ESV says, "how long am I to be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." We have to understand here that Jesus' frustration is because he wants his disciples, he wants the people that believe in him to have a firm foundation in him, to trust in him, to hold on to the message. And yet here, only a day after coming down from the mountain, they seem to have lost their way again. He wants the message of today to be the message for them tomorrow also, to be their solid rock, that they wouldn't lose it to static interference or a different message that they might hear. We need to make sure that we don't let these kind of interferences, the kind of noise that the world creates, the kind of noise that our problems will sometimes try and create, we need to make sure that we stay tuned in to the word of God and not let that static interference tear us apart from it. The third thing is this, that we need to keep tuned in at all costs and get the message that is repeated. It's repeated several times for us here in these chapters alone, that importance of hearing the word of God, of applying the word of God. We need to keep tuned in. You know, sometimes there's that temptation when you lose reception just to turn off the radio. And in a sense, we say sometimes when we're struggling in our relationship with God, the temptation is to put down the word of God, that which we should be hearing. But we need to be encouraged to keep tuned in. We need to be encouraged that Jesus repeats this message because he is merciful and compassionate and patient with us. We've seen his frustration, but that frustration is born of a love to see us grow in our faith. So we need to make sure that we don't put down, we don't turn off the radio, we don't put down God's word, that we keep tuned in. If you ever watch, I don't even think it's called BBC News 24 anymore, is it? It's just BBC News Channel. But if you were to watch one of the news channels, you would see that at the top of every hour, or sometimes even every 15 minutes, the same stories would be repeated because these are the main headlines. And they do that because it's the important thing to take a hold of that day. The Bible works with us, will teach us and help us, so long as we keep it turned on, so long as we keep coming back to it. Sky Sports News is an absolute worst at that one. Every 10 minutes, it seems, they seem to go back round the same stories again. You're thinking, give me something new. But with God's word, how we need to be reminded constantly of God's love, of God's word that strengthens us, that grounds us, that gives us our sure foundation. And so Jesus repeats this message for the disciples, that which they have already heard in Jesus' words. Hear, hear, hear. And so Jesus heals the demon-possessed boy by the authority of his word. He rebuked the demon and healed the boy, it tells us. Rebuked the demon. And all were astonished at the majesty of God. The message is given again. The authority of God's word is reaffirmed for the people, and they once more are in awe of his majesty. We need to tune in each and every day. We can't afford to turn off. We can't afford to switch that off and hope that maybe if we come back to it a week later, we can pick up where we left off. We need God's word to strengthen us each and every day. And then there's this fourth thing, and this is my concluding point. That when we have done all these things, when we have sought to tune into the word of God, when we have tried to avoid the static distractions, when we have avoided putting down God's word or turning off the radio, that we then need to acknowledge that we ourselves need to become a broadcaster of the good news. That we ourselves need to be the ones that pick up this message and relay it to other people. What happens when we get this message? We share it. We pass it on. There's a wonderful illustration for any of you that have seen The Lord of the Rings. There's a moment in one of the films, I forget which one it is, but one of the hobbits, I forget which one that is, but clearly not a big fan, but one of the hobbits climbs this beacon. A little bit like we've got at Comstock, except much grander because they've got CGI, whereas Comstock don't. But he climbs this giant beacon, and once he gets to the top, takes the flame and lights this beacon. And it then has this camera angle that pans out, and you see way in the distance another mountain. And on that mountain, this beacon lights up because they've seen the original beacon light up. And then you go on to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And thousands of miles are covered because of these strategically placed beacons that are relaying the message so that others can see it. So others can see it. Jesus wants us to become broadcasters of this good news, to be the kind of people that are prepared to share it with other people, to transmit this message that we have picked up to other people. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says this: "But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere." The aroma, the good news, the gospel message of Jesus Christ, to share this everywhere that we go. And we're helped in this as well. We're helped in this commission that we are given. We're given the Holy Spirit to enable us, to help us. The Holy Spirit, if we continue with the analogy, if you like, is the amplifier or the signal booster. I remember at Pete and Al's the other day, I installed this booster to their Wi-Fi signal because it wasn't reaching the other end of the house. And so we installed this thing that picks up the signal from the Wi-Fi box and sends it further down to the rest of the house. And the Holy Spirit can help us and strengthen us that we might be boosted, amplified in the message that we share, the good news message of Jesus Christ. Indeed, this is the result for the disciples, for those that so easily lost their way. And of course, we can look no further than Peter, who struggled so often. And yet, when empowered by the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, when Luke himself records this, in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 and verse 22, it says this: "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. listen carefully to what I say. And then in verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs. Which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Peter, who has stumbled so often, declares so boldly now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, the good news that he himself has received. He relays it to other people with a boldness, with a confidence. He accepts that, having tuned into the Word of God, that he now needs to relay this message to other people, to pass this message on. Some of you may throw things at me at this point, but I'm going to mention Christmas. Because Christmas is a perfect example of this, that we as Christians have ample opportunity to share something of the good news, to declare something of our Saviour who came into the world to live amongst us, to teach us, to direct us, to die for us, to rise from the grave for us. We have the perfect opportunity, and yet is Christmas not one of those occasions where static interference can get in the way? Where all the other distractions can start to crowd out the real message, that which we should be sharing? Shopping, food, all sorts of things. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, goodness only knows what they'll come up with next. But there's all these different things that would take us and distract us off of the main message, off of the Word of God, off of our main radio preset, and put us onto something else. But we need to stay focused on the Word of God, and we need to be bold in sharing it with other people, relaying this message. Well, this is how I was challenged with this scripture this week as I was travelling back from Moorlands, that we would acknowledge our need, as God says of his Son, listen to him, that we would acknowledge our need to tune in to the Word of God, to avoid those static interference, those distractions, the things of this world, to keep tuned in, to not put down or turn off, and to become a broadcaster ourselves of the good news. But truly a wonderful message. And I'm just going to say a closing prayer to that effect, and then we're going to be joined again by Mark, Sandy, Jill and Dan, who are going to lead us in a closing hymn that we ourselves might declare with boldness the good news in song. But I'm just going to close in prayer before we do that. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for the scripture, for your word given to us. Lord, we pray that it might be a source of strength to us, that we might hold fast to it, that we might continue to tune into the Word of God and put aside other distractions and other noises, that we ourselves might be enabled to be broadcasters of the good news to other people. And we pray especially in the coming weeks as we approach Christmas that we might be able to keep the main thing, and to share this good news with confidence and with joy, Lord God. So, Father, keep us rooted in your Word, we pray. In Jesus' loving name, amen. As I say, I'm going to hand back now to Mark, and they're going to lead us. We can sing. Having heard this word, we can declare truly the praises of God. So let's sing with them. Thank you.
Gillian and I weren't with you this morning. And I understand that you sang And Can It Be? This isn't done to confuse the issue, but we're going to sing a different tune, which I believe has been sung here previously from time to time, so hopefully it shouldn't be completely alien, but it's one I like it like this. And can it be that I should gain my interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me to him death pursue. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? He left his father's home above, so free, so in
emptied himself overnight, and bled for Adam's helpless grave. His mercy all, innocent and free, for all my dark, he found without me. My heart was free, my robes went forth.